Hi, welcome to the Meg Pearson Podcast, Fertile at 40. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. After many health complications due to alcohol addiction and an eating disorder that ruled my world for close to 20 years, I was told I would never have children. At 38, I naturally and surprisingly fell pregnant, and the transition from maiden to mother was wrought with love, grief, excitement, and healing. Becoming a mama was about far more than just soothing stitches and learning how to care for a tiny human. It was, and still is, a relearning of who I am and what I am truly capable of. After over two challenging years trying to conceive a second baby since, I gratefully and naturally conceived my second child just as I turned 41, after three losses and heaps of heartache. I am a doula in training, holistic chef, teacher of yoga, and a childbirth educator, and I am here to share my story because I know it's not just mine. Join me each week for unbiased convos with a no-bullshit approach to faith, infertility, conscious conception, and connected pregnancy, with birth stories, expert interviews, and personal anecdotes to help tell the story of creation. Welcome. Now let's do this. Welcome to this week's episode of the Meg Pearson Podcast. So in real time, it is early August 2022, and I am currently home with my new baby, Mr. Ozzy. And so this episode and intro was pre-recorded in preparation for my maternity leave, but I wanted to let you guys know that very soon on the show, I will be doing an update with you guys to tell you about how things are going with our newly expanded family and how my breastfeeding journey is going, and also eventually our birth story. But for now, today, I am excited to welcome back an amazing guest. Her name is Priscilla Cleary. She was back on the she was on the show back in June and on episode number 51. She is a pediatric dietitian, the founder of Baby to Table Nutrition, and a mother of three littles of her own aged three and under. Last time Pri was on the show, which was back in June, as I mentioned, we discussed the different ways and methods in which we can introduce solids to our babies. Now, I have to say, as a holistic chef myself, I thought that because what I've been doing for over a decade, you know, nourishing souls with plant-powered food, I thought when it came to feeding my now toddler, it would be no issue of getting her to eat vegetables. Boy, was I wrong. So today on the show, we are going to discuss a couple of things, including the old adage that food before one is just for fun. And we also discuss the top eight common mistakes that parents make while starting baby on solids. Now, I very recently just had my second child, as I mentioned, and he is far from needing any sort of solid food still, but I know that this phase is right around the corner. And I'm so grateful for the insights here so I can set little Ozman up for great success in feud future. Because I tell you, as she was listing these mistakes, I was ticking them off in my head thinking, yep, oops, oops, I did that, oops, I did that. So here we go. This is episode number two with Priscilla Cleary. One last thing before we get into the conversation, I want to remind you that this podcast provides general information and discussion about natural medicine, health, pregnancy, and childbirth related subjects. The content here should not be taken as medical advice, and the content here is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult with your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Now, on with the show. All right, Pri, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back here.
So we've got more to talk about, and I want to ask you to weigh in on something right at the very beginning, something that I was thinking about since we last spoke here on the podcast. This whole idea of food before one is just for fun. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I have so much to say about that one, but I'll try to be quick as I can and to the point. So I like this phrase. I like the meaning behind that phrase. The idea behind that phrase is to, you know, make parents less stressed about and obsessed about every single bite that the little one eats at the table. So I like that part. But sometimes that phrase can be taken too far, to the point that you are not intentional about feeding your little one. So food before one should be fun. You know, you should make a fun and a positive experience for your baby and for yourself. But there are other roles that food has before one. And I'm just going to list four here and explain really quick. The first one is for nutrition. When babies get too close to that six month age mark, they start to need some extra nutrients. Not that breast milk and formula has lost their nutrition, but babies growing and they need more. So you need to complement. That's why we call complement feeding when we start solids is another term that we can use. So they need some nutrition that the solid foods are going to give them together with breast milk or formula. That's the first one for nutrition. The second one is to just expand the variety of the baby's diet. We know that more texture and flavors and different types of foods that we offer to a child, less likely they are to be picky as they get older. So if we start that early on and take advantage of that, those months that they are more curious about food, we can help them expand the diet and enjoy more different types of food. So nutrition, expanding the diet. The third one is to expose them to food allergens. So now we know from research that instead of waiting too long, like when baby's 2 or 3 years old, to introduce the main food allergens, it's best to do early on, because that can help us reduce the risk of them developing food allergies. And the third one is just development, to help with the development. So when kids are eating, they are using different skills, like picking up the food, bring to their mouth, have to coordinate the vision and all those motor skills. So the act of eating help them develop those skills that are going to be useful, not just for eating, but so many other activities later in life. So just for those four reasons, there is many other reasons, but just for those four, food before one is not just for fun, but should definitely be fun and a positive experience.
Now, and as you're going through all of that, I think about the food allergens and I figure, God, that's a whole other episode. God, there's so much that we could talk about with that, and controversy and different ideas, and goodness, even, you know, I've been thinking about, as you know, at the time of recording here, I'm pregnant with my second, and the idea of, I just put peanut butter in my smoothie and I'm like, oh, am I supposed to, or am I not? Well, there was the old information, don't eat peanuts when you're pregnant. You don't want to pass an allergen on, but now they're like, eat as many peanuts as you can so that you can, your child can build the tolerance. And then there's the, I mean, there's that confusion. And then there's so much confusion again with our littles, but, that's not what we're talking about today. We will have to do that in a different time. Today we are here to talk about the top 8 mistakes when it comes to starting your baby on solids. Last episode you were here, we talked about the different methods and ways that we can introduce solids. Now here today, we're talking about the top 8. And I know that this is something that you have spoken a lot about, on your website and your social media. Mm-hmm. So let's get right into that. What do you find to be the biggest mistakes that parents make when introducing food to their children?
Yes. So first I want to just tell parents that after at least all those 8 mistakes, don't feel bad about if you have done any of them. You know, you do your best. We all do our best of what we know, right? And we do better when we know more. So and even if you have done all of them, it doesn't mean that there is no turnaround, that your child, that you just ruin your child, or you know, you're gonna have a picky eater in your hands. I just share that just to shed some light for parents and help them as they're starting solids or they're feeding the little one, and help them have some information so they can adjust the way they're feeding the little one to be more confident and have more joy at the table. So don't feel bad, not judgmental here, just to give you more information, because if you know more, you can do better. So the first one is starting too soon. So sometimes, right, like we are eating a food, seated at the table, the baby in our lap, and they're looking at it and we think, oh, it's time to go. Or it's just like a fun phase, right? Feeding babies, like they're, if you are into the mess, you know, you let them play with food and explore the food. And it is so fun to share, you know, Use a few little ones. So sometimes we want to do two as soon as we can. And sometimes that might be too early. So the recommendation right now is to wait until babies between 4 to 6 months of age and they have met a series of milestones, which we kind of mentioned in a previous episode. So if you have listening, I'd go back and then I'd go more into detail on that one. So don't start too soon. So between 4 to 6 months and when you see signs of readiness for solid. So that's mistake number one. Mistake number two is waiting too long. So sometimes for different reasons, because we're anxious, that baby might choke, or just because we don't know. We don't know, like, when should we start? And there is so many contradicting and confusing information there that we ended up waiting too long. So studies have been showing us now that we don't expose babies to at least lumpy or finger foods by 9 months of age, they are more likely to have some sensory and feeding issues in the future. That doesn't mean, like, if you are still feeding purees to your baby at 9 months, that doesn't mean that they, you know, they're set, they're going to have issues. No, it's just showing us that around that 9 month mark, we always wanted to be more intentional, but definitely by nine, if our baby's not really interested in food, we are not really, you know, expose them to solid foods on a regular basis, we wanted to get more proactive on that one, definitely by 9 months. So that's the second one, waiting too long. The third one is giving only bland food to baby. So we think that, like, babies cannot get any spices and seasoning, you know, but it's the very opposite. Besides salt and sugar, and then, you know, preservatives and all the things that we already know that is not healthy for anyone, is not helpful and nutritious for anyone. You can be very adventurous of the spices. So the fresh herbs, dry spices, starting with the ones that you use in your own food, you know, as an adult, the garlic, onions, and all of that. Babies can have that as long as you're modifying, and we mentioned that a little bit in the previous episode as well, and you are not overloading, but like using an amount that is going to help your child to have a taste and expand their palate. It's better to have more flavor than just be bland food for the little one. The fourth mistake is forgetting important nutrients. So as I mentioned in the beginning, foods before one, it is for nutrition. So we want to be intentional about what we are putting in our baby's plate or tray. You know, some of the nutrients that we want to really be paying attention to, like healthy fats. Iron is a big one, because once babies start solids, a lot of children can go through a phase of anemia, of deficiency of iron. So we want to be intentional about those nutrients, to make sure that the foods that we are offering them are as nutritious or more nutritious than the formula or breast milk that they are getting. So we want to be intentional about that one. Offering too much too soon, right? We see it sometimes, like, babies, you know, are ready to eat solids and they just shoving in their mouth and being and having fun and all that. So we want to, like, okay, more is better, right? More food I put in front of them. And sometimes that can be very overwhelming for baby when we have, like, a full plate in front of them. So sometimes it's better to start slowly. I think it's usually better to start slowly and increase gradually the size of the portion, the different options that you are giving. So baby don't feel too overwhelmed. You don't feel too overwhelmed thinking that you have to fix this 5-course meal to your baby because you saw those different beautiful plates on social media. I was just working with a mom earlier this week, and she was telling me about, like, all the different plates and how she doesn't have time to fix a plate that way. Even if it's a piece of sweet potato that you're putting in front of your little one, you know, it's okay. You don't have to have that perfect plate. Just be intentional about offering variety and including the new foods at a pace that works for your family.
Yeah. I mean, and I have to just say that you go to Pinterest and you Google, or you Google, you Pinterest, like, put in into the search bar, toddler plates, and you get these epic divided plates that have, like, 25 different ingredients. And it's like, we don't need to be doing that. We need to stop setting that expectation for most families. It's just impossible. So yeah, take it easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you are a chef, or if, you know, you have the time and you want to fix that type of plate, go for it. No judgment mm-hmm. on that one. But, you know, also don't feel bad if it is, you don't even have a plate. To be honest with you, my babies, I don't get into plates until they're close to one. I use a tray. I feel that the plates are more than a distraction and that than, you know, helpful. So don't feel bad if you're just like, you know, getting the pieces of food and it's not really those beautiful star and heart shapes. As long as it's nutritious food that you're eating, that your child is eating a positive and supportive environment, that's, you're doing a great job. Okay. So yeah. So our mistake in number six is feeding the child separate from the rest of the family. Right. We wanted to make this experience a whole family thing. I know that sometimes can be more convenient, you know, to feed the baby separately because you might have a toddler and might get messy and crazy at the table. But believe me, that mess and craziness at the table is worth it. It's worth the investment now of trying at least once a day, have that family meal that everyone is eating at the same time and sharing the same meal, because you are setting a foundation for years later. You know, I think all of us parents want to be able to sit with a teenager at the table and talk about their day, you know, when they're older. And that's not going to happen if we don't have those family meals. You know, they're not getting used to that. It's not a routine when they were younger, what they're going to be doing when they're 16 or 17. So we are setting that foundation. Plus, there are so many studies showing the positive points of having family meals, like even having better grades. Kids who have family meals on a consistent base at home, they tend to have better grades. They tend to be less depressed. They tend to be more confident about, because food and eating food in a family environment at the table, whatever table it is, if it is a picnic mat at the floor, you know, when I mean table, here's that a place that you gather to share meals with your family. It is, you know, it just builds that confidence, that love that the child needs. You know, I tell parents that the child don't really want dinner. I know they need dinner and they'll be hungry, but what they really want is you at the table. You know, sometimes when I'm in a hurry and I just need to give my children like the plate to eat and I'm doing something else, I see their behavior and how it's different, you know, than when I'm actually able to sit and share a meal with them. And again, it's going to look different for each family. You just want to be intentional about and make it happen as often, as frequent in a style that works best for your family, those family meals, and including the baby is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So mistake number seven is to avoid the mess. I know I'm not going to coat here. Feeding babies is messy. Doesn't matter if you are doing traditional weaning or baby led weaning, it's not gonna be sparkling clean. You know, you're gonna have things in the face, on the floor, on the clothes. And actually that mess is part of the process. When we are too obsessed about cleaning their face all the time, cleaning their tray as they eat, you know, getting too upset about the food that they throw on the floor. Well, of course, you want to teach them, you know, the appropriate behavior at the table. But when you were too stressed about and passing that to your child, you ended up not creating a positive environment. And that is more damaging than, you know, doing baby-led weaning or doing traditional feeding. You know what I mean? When you are creating an environment that is stressful, that is not positive. So really, like, welcoming the mess. There are ways that you can control the mess. There are ways that you can minimize, but at the same time, don't be too obsessed and distracting your baby while they're eating. Let them enjoy and explore the food, because that's all part of the process of them learning to like and enjoy the foods that you share with them. And the last mistake here is ignoring satiety cues. So I know we want our babies to be healthy and grow and have roles and all of that. But believe me, they are pretty good at knowing how much they should eat. As long as we are doing our jobs as parents, which it is to, again, offer that positive environment, offer the food, you choose what foods to offer. That's your job. It's not their job to, you know, until they're older, once they're older, you know. But at this age, you decide what's going to be on the menu for that meal. And you decide kind of the schedule once they're getting out of those breast milk and formula, getting more solid foods, you can start to set up the schedule or the routine for when to eat a meal. So you do that job and you trust your child to do their job, which is decide to either eat or not, or in front of them, and how much. It is nerve-wracking. I know it can create a lot of anxiety when you put in front of them and they just take a bite, but it's still their decision, it's still their body. And if you trust them, believe me, they're going to get what they need. They're going to grow. As long as we are offering nutritious variety of food, creating a positive environment, and setting up a schedule, a routine, they're going to do their job and they're going to get enough for them to eat. That's true for most children. Now, there are some children that they might have some sensory, some other issues that you might need some extra professional help. But for the majority of the children, when you set up an environment that way, they're going to get what they need. Some days they're going to eat more. You're going to like, why are you putting all that food? Mm-hmm. And some days they're not going to even really touch the food. But when you look overall, it's going to balance it out and they are going to continue to grow and to thrive.
Yeah. And this is something I've definitely had to work on with myself as a, you know, a holistic chef, and I nourish people. That's part of who I am and what I do. Yep. And when I started preparing food for my daughter moved into toddlerhood and she would not touch the food that I put on the plate, I had to work on my own frustration. I've never found myself getting as worked up about something when it comes to parenting besides this factor. Like when I would make her food, or I would make her the exact same thing that I made her the night before that she loved, and she wouldn't touch it that night. And this has been, wow, my biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. And then also trying to understand too, that as they do get older, they end up eating a little bit less, right? Is this right? Like babies need more than toddlers do sometimes, mm-hmm. because they're really moving through more growth stages, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Yeah, but in terms of quantity, overall, you're going to see the babies tend to clean their plate. You know, they're growing faster. They're growing more in terms of like timeline. They're going faster in the same timeline compared to a toddler. So they're going to require more calories, so to speak. A toddler, they grow slower. They still growing, right? It's all growing children, but they grow and grow slower. Because you see a baby pretty much like more than double their size by the time they are 12. And a toddler, you see that growth is slower. So that's one thing. They are growing, babies grow faster than toddlers. Another thing, toddlers are busy. You know, babies, they basically sleep, poop, and eat.
Right.
Job, you know, but as they start to walk, to explore the world around them, to develop the language skills, that's a lot of jobs, you know. They get distracted, they're too busy. Sometimes they feel they don't have time to sit down and eat a full meal. You know, I tell parents, expect your toddler to be 5-10 minutes off at the table. If you got 10 minutes, that's a big win, you know. They're just, their attention span is short. So those are some things. They are growing slower and they are just busy. They have a lot, you know, a lot to do.
Yeah, they do. And I'm seeing it with my daughter. She's 2 years and 7 months. And some nights she'll sit at the dinner table for longer than 10 minutes and slowly eat. She'll ask to hold my hand and we'll just chat and connect. And other days I can't get her to the table. She does not want to stop playing to sit down to a meal, or I finally get her to the table and she takes 2 bites and then she's crawling off the chair saying she's done and ready for her bath. So some nights that's what we do. And then I give her a glass of, you know, almond milk before bed, just so she's got a full belly. And then the next morning she makes up for it. Right. And I guess that's, you know, I'm not going to force feed her. You can't force feed a toddler.
No, yeah, absolutely. at the imbalance is out. And like parents come to me and say, don't look at one meal, don't even look at one day. You know, we gotta see overall. If we would like actually do a food journal and write down, you know, I have done that with some parents and it was eye-opening for them that they saw, oh, they're actually eating. So, you know, looking a whole month, for example, or even a whole week is more helpful than just one meal or one day. And another one that I like to tell parents as a indicator that the child is getting enough inside of them, enough food, is diapers or potty for a toddler. If something's coming out, something's definitely coming in, right? If they're having regular bowel movements, peeing and all that, that's one indicator that they're you know, getting enough, because they're not constipated and have those issues, but they're, things are moving through. So yeah, if it's moving through, that means that things are getting in. But definitely not forcing. That's gonna damage your relationship with them. That the feeding is a feeding relationship that you are building, you know, and there, as I said, there are jobs, there are your jobs and your child's job. Just focus on yours, check mark yours. You're offering nutritious foods, are you setting a routine or a schedule, and then create a positive environment? You have done your job. They decide how much, and even if they're going to eat what you put in front of them.
Yeah. Well, sounds so easy.
You're sad and down. Yeah, I know that. Believe me, even in experience, like being a dietitian, I have my own children put you to test, But yeah, but it is an investment. It's long-term investment. That's what I tell parents.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't see the results right away, you know, but as they get older and you see that they enjoy to be at the table, that they are being confident about choosing, you know, the foods that they want to eat or not, and listening to their body. I think that's the most important of the all. This would be a whole nother episode here, the diet culture out there, all this diet culture out there. You want to raise a child that is confident about what they are choosing to eat, confident about their body, loving their body, what their body does for them, regardless what it looks like, right? Because we all look different and we were made in different shapes and sizes, and it's beautiful.
Gosh, yeah. And that is another whole conversation that I'm definitely going to want to get into in, you know, with my history. I mean, everyone that's listening knows I battled an eating disorder. And I know that a lot of the stories that I carried around food came from the energy of, you know, what it was like to eat my meals at school, what it was like, you know, eating at home with my family. So I'm not going to open up that can of worms here today, but
to trigger you.
No, it's so, but it's an important conversation. And if people want to speak to you about that or any of the things we've touched on, I know you have a lot of amazing resources. You've got some free stuff like your quick start to solids that people can grab, as well as a free food library, a membership program. And I'm going to put links to all of that in the show notes, as well as a link to, I believe, a blog that you have written on just that, what we've talked about today, the 8 mistakes. So people have that for reference. Again, Priscilla, if you can just let us know where people can find you on social media and your website.
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is babytotablenutrition.com. And then you can also find me on Instagram, and there is going to be just babytotable. And Facebook is Babe to Table Nutrition. Yeah, you can find me in those places and just shoot me a message and I can show you around.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy life with all of the, you know, three and under. So gosh, bless you for taking the time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here, Meg. And thank all the parents listening. And I hope this will be helpful and give you more confidence and joy at the table.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please follow the show over on Instagram at Fertile@40podcast and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more info on today's show, please head on over to the podcast website at meganpearson.ca/podcast. Until next time.